Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's Monday, the 12th day of October 2020. I'm David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock today. Well, you may recall that I think about 2 weeks ago, when the Barbados Labour Party launched their St. George North campaign, we did share with you some comments which were made from that platform. And we promised also that when the Democratic Labour Party launched their campaign, that we would also share some information with you. Well, last night, the DLP did launch their platform campaign, and in the interest of trying to balance this situation here, we are going to keep our commitment to share a bit of what was said on that platform. Of significance to many people would be this candidate that has been advanced by the DLP, Floyd Reefer, a well-known cricketer. And as I said back then, I didn't know of him as a speaker. So last night was the first time to hear him on the political platform. From my observation, I think that it is fair to say that he read his speech as distinct from ad-libbing it. But I'm going to share with you some of what he had to say last night. So here goes Floyd Reefer from the Democratic Labour Party, recognizing, of course, that I have some other candidates in this race who would also want to be heard in similar veins. So I will do my best in subsequent programs to reflect that same degree of balance and fairness to them.
Ask the people of Lower Estate about their experience with the dump. Prior to election, the Barbados Labour Party was a ready shoulder to cry on for the people of Lower Estate, as they suffered from the effects of the burning dump. Be again. The poor air quality, people suffering from allergies, adults and children with asthma, fearing the next asthma attack will be their last. Funny enough, it was the Democratic Labour Party government that issued the order for the operator to cease operations at the site. December 1st, 2017, to be precise. After that, residents began to breathe again, began to breathe fresh air, and their quality of life was improving. But you know what? The dump is worries again. It's been burning off and on for the last 2 years. People down there suffering. Now, when the Barbados Labour Party was in opposition, they said they couldn't do anything because they weren't in government. Listening, people, listen to me. Hear what they told my people. Vote for us is what the people of Lower State were told. Once in power, the mighty Prime Minister will instruct. People, remember what he told you. Tell me. Can't hear you. Bait and switch. And they promise more. Are we getting? All right. Well, I don't have to tell you, the people in Lower Estate are suffering. Again, we cannot find the Barbados Labour Party people who promised permanent relief. I say to you tonight, it is time that we put a stop to the ongoing disrespect of the people of St. George North by the Barbados Labour Party. It is time to send a strong message that St. George North lives matter too. And it should not matter what color shirt you have on. I will be representing all. I don't see color, I see people. The old woman with the medical issue can only get hit as she ran, right? And the man who walks St. George North, I cannot afford shoes because his t-shirt is not red. What about the fatherless child? Can he get supplies if his mother is wearing a red t-shirt? Nowhere. Every man, woman, and child in St. George North will be my priority. Friends, I have a vision for St. George North. It is a vision for community empowerment and a vision for community inclusion. Yes, I said inclusion. Everyone that has something to contribute must be able to do so, whether they hail from Parishland, Flat Rock, Walkers, St. Jude's, Rowan's Park, anywhere in St. George North. Whether they're old, young, or in between. Everyone that wants to advance and better themselves should also be able to do so. Why is it in 2020 that with all the technology and skills available in St. George North, our young men and women can't get help to pursue a business or even a community project? I am going to change that. We will set up a community resource bank, and we will match people who have experience in various aspects of business with those who need advice and guidance to bring their ideas to life. That same community resource bank will serve as a directory of businesses and services available in St. George North, whom Johns will be for. We know that St. George North is part of this island's breadbasket when it comes to food production. Imagine in 2020, our farmers still struggle to sell their produce. When we have community centers and other spaces that can serve as the location for weekly farmers market, I have plans. Big plans. Big words too. And I'm listening to you, the people of St. George North. I hear you. And in the coming weeks and beyond, we will continue to have these conversations. I am in this for the long haul. Time for big works, not words. And speaking of big works, look at this video here.
I know who Floyd was. I like you. I salute him for that. But I don't want to know who you were. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you're going to do for me today. I want to know what you're going to do for me tomorrow. And by telling me about big words, it's not your game, but big works. You can't get big works in today without talking to me. You got to talk with me. I know who Floyd.
People, y'all saw that. All right. Big words. The Honorable Prime Minister said that all big works have to go through her. So you are telling me when I win, She's not going to support the plans and ideas I have for us in this constituency.
Yes, that was Floyd Reefer speaking last night in St. George North. Now, I said that he read his speech, but, you know, many people on their first outing exercise a degree of caution by actually reading their first speech, and it's been pointed out to me by somebody else that Toni Moore would have done a similar thing on her first occasion on the platform. So people need to be given a chance, I suppose, to grow. That is the nature of public speaking. I also want to take this opportunity to extend congratulations to Patterson Cheltenham QC on being designated this country's next Chief Justice. He really will carry a considerable weight on his shoulders and will need the support of many in this country in the effort to bring about the much needed improvement in the way things are done within the judiciary of Barbados. It is no secret that there are many people at home and abroad who lament the slow pace of justice and the various inefficiencies that we don't necessarily have to go into right now. This is going to call for a high degree of management skill. You know, many lawyers run their own businesses, their offices. But what is required when it comes to running the judiciary of Barbados, it calls for a lot more than many of them have been exposed to. There is one body of opinion that perhaps we are asking too much of one person in this regard, and that what is really required is that you have someone who deals with the decisions and writes decisions and tries to get them out in a timely manner, and then you need somebody to actually manage the process overall. But we are not there. What we have is a system where much depends upon that one individual to chart the course. We wish him well. He will need all the support that he can get. And what is heartening about it is to see that across the political divide, he is well supported. This is not coming across as though, you know, it's a BLP thing and the Dems are opposed to it and that sort of thing. And that's very heartening. Let's welcome our first caller today. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. There are 2 points I want to make this morning, but I hope you have me along the way with this one. Do you have had a chance to look at the Sound of the Sun?
What part of it?
The part that tell me if I'm right or wrong, the head of the World Bank, when he said that because of COVID-19, these are, he didn't mind, not his words, but that's how I would phrase it, that do not expect or do not be guaranteed that there's going to be debt relief. And he also went on to mention the fact that the Prime Minister, Mrs. Mia Mawley, should look for Plan B now. Because if you are telling Ms. Mawley to look for Plan B, it means that somewhere along the line, as far as little that I got through that paper, Plan A doesn't seem to be working. So what is your take on what the gentleman has to say?
Well, you know, the attitude of the World Bank is not surprising. They, you know, we've been graduated, and other Caribbean countries were graduated from World Bank assistance some time ago. One would expect that in a COVID era, an agency like the World Bank would be taking a somewhat more conciliatory and compassionate approach to countries like ours. But they are the same ones who would then question why it is that Caribbean countries are going more and more into China's orbit. You know, they have this hard-nosed position in relation to countries like ours. They want us to sit down here to sink and turn to no one else. But when you go to China, they then tell you, oh, you know, the Chinese bribing you, you're doing this, you're doing that. But they're not giving, the World Bank certainly needs to rethink its approach to countries like ours, at this, especially at this time. But it doesn't surprise me, because they are dominated by a thinking which is consistent with what you get from the Trump administration at the moment.
But don't forget that the these are investors who would invest their money into these different banks, the IMF, the World Bank, and therefore, you know that when you invest money, you're looking for your returns. So they are not into that. You just running like a what you call the sharky or the nations. They are there to help you at the same time.
So you are supportive of the line that they are taking.
No, I would say I'm supportive. But I'm saying that you got to look at, like you say, you have to look at it two ways. Now, my question to you is, what is the plan B? Because he said now she has to look at plan B. What is this plan B?
But you should ask him. He should tell you what plan B is. I don't know what it is.
All right, my last point.
Plan B could only, as far as I'm concerned, plan B has to be a consolidation of the relationship between countries in the South. The poorer countries of the world need to join forces and cooperate more. You would have seen Barbados start to talk about greater and closer collaboration with African countries, for instance. There are countries in Asia as well that could be part and parcel of that. There's got to be there's got to be a shift away from the heavy reliance on the United States and Europe. I mean, look what Europe is doing with us in relation to the blacklisting matter.
Right. And to that last point, Mr. Ellis, listen, you have to go in these places to see for yourself and not listen to what people or what the supporters of the different parties will say. So you take a drive in St. George North. There's a road in St. George North near Mayfield. You know that place?
Mayfield?
Yeah, it would take you from there to Providence, where that school is built. But that would be you wouldn't call it the front road, that would be a back road. If you live up there and you had a car park in front of your place, and it was giving the car trouble to pass your car. Now, this road was so for donkey years, and if the rail fall, there's got a lot of holes in the road. What Mr. Clark used to do, most of the times that there's a problem in the roads in St. George North, he would get, so when he was the minister of MGW, he would get the men to go out there so and get some that black stuff and pass it the roads. But I will let you next time go in St. George North and travel those roads. You will see, I never like to ask Mr. Glenn Clark, if you're listening, for the 26 years, name five proper roads in St. George that he had done. Five of them. I only want to name five. But I could tell, down by Chaffet in a mess. Down Lower Estate not the upper part of Lower Estate, terrible conditions. You could go by St. George, Newbury. Parts of Newbury way go inside the village itself.
So you put all the blame on Mr. Clark?
He was bragging and boasting about what he had done St. George North.
Can you reasonably, let's put this in context.
Yes.
I sat down here for some years. Heard people complain about the fact that the road network in Barbados had been deteriorating and little work was being done. Ms. Clark was at the time in opposition.
Right.
There is some blame that you may be able to attribute to him. But you can't put all the blame on his shoulders, recognizing that there was a period of 10 years.
And what happened before that period?
Yes, but you see, that's what I'm saying to you. I am saying to you that I understand that you can blame him for what might not have taken place prior to that 10-year period.
Mm-hmm.
But for 10 years, this situation got markedly worse.
I
listened to the campaign speeches and that sort of thing, and sometimes I just shudder at some of the things that I hear, because you got to take into consideration that there were some things that we complained about bitterly that were not being addressed for quite some time because of the country's financial situation.
I agree, and I bring one more last thing to you, Mr. Ellis. I want you to investigate it, because sometimes you might not think I'm telling you the truth. I had to go and collect something from the hospital last week from CSSD. No, CSD, sorry. That has moved out because they're doing some work in there and it's on the air floor. If you're coming from, it all depends on what side you're coming from. If you're coming from the northern part, you will get to there before you get to the recovery room. I was only told that they're not dealing with outside patients for the time being, that only one orthopedist is working. And I asked the lady that in there, she says she doesn't have any idea this might be sold out to the back of the year. I think it's all reasonable. I told her that she should have put that in the paper and let the people know so that people won't have to come there and then they'd be turned back. Then I went downstairs to make an appointment for this old lady. And I was told, the doctor told me that she will have to get the appointment sometime in January. And I said, well, she might not be able to wait that long. But, I mean, these are things, Mr. Ellis, that I expect the CEO of the hospital, because she said that she is going to be at this hospital like once years ago, the gem of the garbage. Put these things in paper so that you won't have to leave home to go to the hospital when you know the place is shut down and it's doing work on it. You understand me?
Understood.
And again, you can see some of the weaknesses in this Barbados Labour Party government. And the last thing, Ms. Ellis, Mr. Carl Williams and his word works. I am not sure of any words that they look very good. But you know something? When you take a machine and scrape off the top of the road and you resurface that road, when heavy duty trucks pass on that road after time, he's going to mash that road. And when water sleep in there, in the next 2 or 3 years, you've got to resurface it again.
I don't think that it is fair to
No, I have
to identify. No, I don't think it is fair to just identify any one road builder when it comes to that kind of issue. Sometimes you see a road and you don't even know, you're not sure who's built it.
But if you see trucks, and you see men working and the
I've heard that complaint. I think what I hear from people suggests that there is a demand that the people who work within the Ministry of Transport and Works pay very close attention to the standard and the quality of roadworks in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that can be applied to any one road builder. It should apply to CO Williams, and it applies also to Infra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that people who are knowledgeable about this particular area have been raising concerns. Some talk to me about it, and they say that, you know, there is a need for the government itself to ensure beyond the shadow of a doubt that the people of Barbados are actually getting value for money when it comes to road construction.
You cannot have said it's much better.
Okay.
Have a nice day, sir.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Yes, sir. Morning.
No, David, I have 2 points to raise with you, but I must tell you this first. Your first caller, man, when he ain't got little friends at the university who giving him information, he got nurse friends at the hospital who giving him information. And according to Dennis Johnson, his imagination friends, that is indeed who they really are. Now, let me get my 2 points. I know as well as you do, David, that we had former Prime Minister Owen Arthur, God bless him in his grave. He governed this country for a period of time. And he did a fantastic job. But there was times, as a matter of fact, there was a time when he and now Prime Minister Mayor Morley had their differences. But suffice to say, at the end of the day, Oinafa has now gone on to his resting place. I would like to believe as a happy man, knowing that all is well with his soul, simply because I believe that there was a forgiveness in his heart.
I really don't understand. I don't know on what basis you are coming to these conclusions, but as you just said, you believe so. So if you believe it, if you believe it, that's it.
Right, that's my opinion.
I don't know what basis.
Now, you know, he even said, that's what I want to say to you, man. I'm going to have very serious what he's going to say to you, especially how you treat me on Friday.
I treated you badly?
No, I didn't get that point, so. Former Prime Minister Arthur even said, in reference to now Prime Minister Mayor Motley, that she has him so busy with the amount of work that she's given to him. And it shows me, and I believe indeed the rest of the people in this country, that there was some sign of forgiveness from him to the Prime Minister. But let me get to my point now. I listened to your program yesterday. And, you know, as a Paul, to see that you had a moderator, Glenn Murray, who's still carrying this sort of animosity in his heart for no Prime Minister Mayor Motley. And I am saddened to know that he can still be going around with this sort of burden on his soul. Now, yesterday we had him posing some questions to Kerry Summons. And he said to Kerry Summers, in fact, he began to mention about campaign funds towards the Barbados Labour Party. And he gave the people in this country the impression as though the Barbados Labour Party was being awashed with campaign funds from whoever. You know, I don't remember seeing Glenn Murray was a former cabinet minister in the Oinafa government. How on earth could he sit down as a cabinet minister knowing that this sort of thing was happening, and he can come out and speak about it.
What was wrong with being awash with campaign funds? What's wrong with that?
Well, that's what he's saying.
So what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it?
Mm-hmm. If you are able to secure a lot of funding from your supporters, it is not considered illegal. So I don't understand why this becomes an issue for you.
You don't understand what that little language trying to make an issue because he said he tried to...
Look, let me say something to you. Whatever comments he made yesterday, he made them in the presence of somebody from the Barbados Labour Party who was quite capable of putting an alternative position to him if they considered it necessary. I don't understand why you would want to make an issue of what you have put before me, which is that he's suggesting that the Labour Party has been awash with money. Look, in the last election campaign, based upon what we saw, we know that our Labour Party could not have mounted that kind of campaign unless they were awash with money. And I don't believe that they took that money out of their own pockets. And we all believe that money came from business people who supported the Labour Party and would have been happy to see the backs of the Democratic Labour Party at that time. Some of those people gave money to both political parties as well. I don't understand what the issue is.
I was waiting to see if you would get to that point.
Well, I've gotten to it. That's the point.
Because he gave me the impression as though it's just the Barbados Labour. I ain't got a problem with campaign money, not at all. He gave the impression as though there was the only...
You are making a mountain out of a molehill.
And then he went further.
We really need to move on to something that is more substantial. I'm telling you that. That don't make any sense to me. That is, you know, he went further and said what?
Let me tell you something. I tell you, I want to make my contribution, and there's the same way you try to behave on Friday. And I can tell you from where you behave stupid to me as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. You could talk. Listen, you have your say, and you know I got mine. So let me hear you.
And then he even gave the impression also that there was funds going to Calypsonians to do campaign songs. And I take it on my own initiative to call a couple of Calypsonians that's well known to the St. Glen Marie, and they deny every single word. Not one of them received a sign. Not one.
All right, sir. You're going to move on. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, I'm on air.
You are.
I'm on air, sir?
Yes, you are.
Okay, good morning.
Morning.
I want to make a reply. I don't know if you would allow me to. Of a gentleman who was just on the air. You told him, he said, in the 26 years of Glenn Clark being in office, and you corrected him. But I would want to say, sir, that coming to Glenn Clark, and I have made this abundantly clear already on your program, in my lifetime, Glenn Clark has done more to the infrastructure and personally to his party and the people who he represented, more in my lifetime than any other politician that I know. I'm talking about roads. When the former regime came into power in 2008, Glenn Clark was at the time fixing a road between the land at Gun Hill and through that area, Newbury, and that area. And they took away the equipment from there. The pavilion at George Park and the Glebe, equipment was there. And it was moved, and they never came back to it.
The road fixed now?
The road fixed now.
Okay.
The road fixed now. Mm-hmm. But the road structure in St. George North was extremely good. And everybody is saying, oh, in 26 years, Glenn Clark was not in office.
But that's the point I made.
As a government in 26 years.
Well, that's the point that I made earlier.
I realize that you made that point. But people, like, they just want, like, that gentleman that bring the same thing to you.
Yeah, but
he just come to the program and tell lies.
Look.
I mean, you know that, Mr.
Look. I really think that we got to be careful not to go off on what would really essentially be minor points. As we speak today, a campaign is taking place in St. George North. That campaign centers around a number of issues at the moment. I've heard concerns about joblessness. It is not peculiar to St. George North, but it is getting special attention there. What can be done to improve that situation? There's a focus on people who have not been able to get conveyances in their in the housing areas and that sort of thing. There's a question of the agricultural sector and what more can be done in that particular constituency. One of the things that I haven't heard touched on, really, I might have missed something, but as you look at the balance between agriculture and housing and other forms of development, because in my years of journalism, I know that there has been a lot of discussion about how much agricultural land remains in agriculture. And the drive to to go in the direction of housing development. We have had some problems for many years now in the sugarcane sector, and people have been lured into allowing the land to become what may be classified as RAB land and then put it into the other forms of development. So all of this is there for discussion. And this goes way beyond just the roads. That the roads in St. George North have to compete with roads all over Barbados that have deteriorated over the years. You've got to go to a place like St. Lucie, for instance, and see what has happened there over the years. Now, in all fairness, the government since 2018 came, and there has been some improvement in areas, but it is not easy. And there's so much work to be done. On top of that, you see this rain that we've been having recently? Whenever you have rain like this, it makes a lot of these roads...
Roads get mashed up.
Yeah. And that comes right back to the other point which was made earlier by somebody who said, look, you know, we got to look at the quality of our road construction as well. It isn't enough to say that a road has been paved, but we want to ensure that it is well done.
I agree with you, Mr. Ellis, but I would want to say this to you. Mm-hmm. If you went at Grove's Corner in St. George and looked to your right, you would see houses. All that area was just cane fields. And now so many houses is in that area that you would know many, many people who were unhoused are now being housed because of Glenn Clark. I mean, he was not selfish. He always was with the people, and the evidence is there. That's why he was there for 26 years.
Well, you know, a lot has to do with the relationship that an MP has with other people in government.
But his constituents.
The Prime Minister of the day, the cabinet of the day, the extent to which, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. At the end of the day, it is more than just one person responsible for delivering in that significant way. It's a whole government.
There's so many things that he left that is really, a roundabout was to go at Grove's Corner. A roundabout was to go there. When you go in St. Helens, you cut a footpath from Cuthbert Moore School down to Locust Hall. Before he went out of power in 2008, it's not yet done. And that is the part that really concerned me.
Well,
that was,
you know, when you talking about all of these things that were done in St. George North, the people in St. John could tell you the things that never were done for them. You understand? Well, there's somebody else somewhere else who can get nothing or get very little. You understand?
But speaking to you...
All of these are the resources that belong to the people of Barbados.
That was for school children. That was for school children. Hmm. And to this day, it is undone. And that was designed for the school children leaving Cuthbert Moore, going into Flat Rock and Bourne's Village and Applewitz and those areas. That was for school children. And the former government never touched it.
But from what you say already, the people of St. George North got a lot. You see, they can't get everything. Because while they were getting, there were other people who weren't. So you will find that somebody else comes in and says, well, look, why don't we shift some of these resources elsewhere?
Yeah, you but know? I say all of that to say to you that it is not correct, and this is my last point to you, it is not correct to accuse Glenn Clark of not doing anything. It is wrong, absolutely
but we,
wrong.
But we covered that already. We have covered that already. I told you that I responded to the gentleman in similar vein, so I don't think we need to belabor that point.
All right. I thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You're on the air?
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Well, you sound very good this morning. I hope I don't upset you. Now, David, I asked a question last week after I went to Newbury, after I heard my friend who we grew up together, Reginald Farley, was slated to speak in Newbury. And it says for all these years since independence, then we had the Senate. I could not recall if it is a convention, it's constitutional, as to whether a president of the Senate could speak on political platforms. I haven't heard anybody replace, and they would like you to find out from me if it is a convention, it's constitutional, because I never heard of it. And as one who was following politics the longest thing, because they always know that the president of the Senate and the Speaker of the House sometimes got to be shown as though they are impartial. Am I right or wrong?
That has been the practice over the years in Barbados.
Right. So when I heard him, I went myself. Before he spoke, he and I had a very deep conversation pertaining to what he was going into. Because we know each other for very long. They come to Newbury mm-hmm. and St. George. That's where I grew up. All my family came from. Now, I was listening last night, and I want to put this out there, but I want to deal with going into Republic, and you was around for a very long time. Now, I heard last night the meeting that took place in Sheffield. I heard the Prime Minister on the radio, because I didn't went there, on the radio said she don't know the reason why candidates will be running from a debate, because when you get into Parliament, you have to debate and you have to be knowledgeable. And so I give that to her. But I want to draw this to her attention. As a St. George man, I could recall that Ear Hopping and Russell Lowe was in Parliament from 1961 to 1976. Jackal, who had run in St. Michael constituency, came home to St. George, where his family is very respectable, like the Rayford family. And Dr. Haynes ran in that election in St. George in 1976 and was defeated by Jackal. There was no other candidate that ran in St. George that was enlightened, educated, and well-spoken than Dr. Haynes. But Jackal beat him. Now, I would say this in a nutshell. Two of the worst debaters that we ever had in St. George. Glenn was a good representative, but he was not a good debater. And you can judge that for yourself. Neither is Jackal. So the debating thing really don't matter. But I want to turn
You have to take into consideration what is motivating that. That is motivated by the perception that somebody's candidate is better at delivering than the other person. And therefore, if you believe that your candidate is stronger in that regard, you're going to call for a debate.
That you hoping, if you can't win on the ground, you won't win in the year. Now, let me go on now to independence.
Well, that doesn't imply that you don't believe you can win on the ground. It means that you want to win on the ground and you want to win on the air, too.
I know all these things. You monitor. I was the wrong part of your monitor, where your strength lies. And let me go into independence. We will discuss all that at another time. Now, I was following politics, and I remember in 1966, when we were going into independence, I was young, and I felt very much, when I heard the argument that we going to make our own decisions, and we going to do that, and I felt proud to know that we move here. As we thought, moving from the colonial rule, and now we will have our own. But you would recall we had so much different groups in Barbados that made suggestions and opposed independence. We had the Under 40s, we had the Barbados Labour Party, we had Crawford, who resigned from the Barbados Labour Party because of independence, because of the wide range of issues that brought about independence. Now, you of yourself, that is why I like to talk to people who is knowledgeable of what is going on. You could remember, and I would like to ask you if it is anywhere that you could get something pertaining that could hold as a evidence. That debate that took place at St. Gabriel's, that you were the moderator, pertaining to corruption, and where to show that the country who was independent was able to get away with certain corruption practices, but the one that stood under the colonial rule
This is the one that this relates to Martin and the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Yes.
So you're talking about.
Yes.
Where the premier called Mizik has been before the courts and stuff like that.
Yes. I can remember even Sanders, where it was said that Sanders had to pay back money and such. Like,
yes, correct.
Right. Well, if there's any way you could get a PhD or something pertaining to that, because I always refer to it, I have no evidence, because I like to have evidence. Because we in this country going into things, and you're not getting questions like the days of the under-40s, the Barbados, the Republic of who were questioning.
But why do you believe we are not getting that degree of questioning and the probing that you consider to be necessary?
Because naturally speaking, nearly every audit that comes out recently from Independent has shown signs of corruption, where you have buildings that cost more than was estimated. I can't give a reason why, but because there's no one, I always recall that Gary, before the went into Independence, had to go before the colonialists took him to the task of taking the taxpayers' money and buying a piano for his wife. So we're going into what we call now Republic. And I want to know if we go into Republic, and this practice continued to behave in that manner, how would the electorate or the people of the country, how would they get their matter resolved if they feel dissatisfied in things that are happening under the Republic? Because you would not have any...
I don't really believe that being a Republic makes any difference in that regard. I don't think that that's going to... it's not going to change because it became a Republic.
Well, as I said, I don't know. I'm asking questions.
No, I don't think it's relevant at all to the issue.
Oh, it may not be relevant. No. But we have to wait till things happen. Now, I would like to know that in case that there is some form of corruption that's shown, either B or D, in public, where would they get the redress from?
Well,
going to Republic?
We've had... I do not believe that there is any link between anti-corruption moves and Barbados being a republic. That the two of them they don't mesh at all. The government has made some move towards trying to strengthen, the whole process in Barbados. One piece of legislation has been passed already. We have had the problem with the legislation that the Senate did not approve, and government says that a particular legislation is coming back. But a lot depends upon us, the people. We also have to ask questions of the government. Last night I listened to some of what was being said on the DLP platform, and I heard a speaker, I don't really know this guy, I was hearing him for the first time, raise some questions about what has happened at Port Vale in some matters there, which he says require answers from the government. Now, that's the kind of thing that has to happen not only on the political platform, but in general terms, when you see steps taken and matters are before the public, you need to be able to say, well, you know, give us the answers to these questions. Sometimes the people who are speaking already have the answers to the questions and can tell the public what they consider to be wrong. It is vigilance on our part. Whether we are a republic or not, that is required.
But I agree with that, David. But what I'm saying, I being vigilant and saying something, and I come... Who would I go to and complain? So, well, I see this bottle was removed. Who would I go to make sure that...
Well, if a crime has been committed, you go to police.
Well, you get in the handle, David. You know that I mean that way, too. I only draw that. But I meant bigger than that. Because naturally
if a crime has been committed, there's a process.
But you know, there's certain things that cannot be done. I think I don't that far. the UK. You like looking for loopholes to get away with. But you know me more than that. Like the same thing with the Turk and Caicos and the other island. But what
one of the questions that I think is relevant, though, is this. For all the discussion that there has been in Barbados about anti-corruption moves, about the need for accountability and transparency.
Yes.
What is your assessment of the extent to which this administration is living up to the ideal of transparency and accountability? How do you feel about that?